call this meeting of Lincoln County Board of Commissioners to order. This is Wednesday, January 17th. It's 9:30 a.m. and we are in the Lincoln County Courthouse. First item is to establish a quorum. We have all three commissioners present. Next item would be adoption of the consent calendar. These are items of a routine nature or items that have come before the commissioners previously. Is there anyone who wishes to make a comment or highlight an item? Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion.
Move for approval of the consent calendar as presented.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. The motion's approved. Next item on our agenda, we have a couple of public hearings. The first public hearing is on marijuana taxes. I will open the public hearing. We'll first hear from staff. We'll receive public comments. We'll close the public hearing and then have board deliberations. So with that,
Commissioner, you considered this matter back in December when we got our first distribution of marijuana tax proceeds. And that these are the state tax proceeds and the voter-approved local taxes that we get for the sale of marijuana, recreational marijuana. This is not applied to medical marijuana, but recreational only. As you may recall, at the time we did this, it was a conglomeration of different taxes over different periods of time. And it was extremely difficult for us to figure out exactly how much we're going to be collecting. Obviously, this is something new. And I think across the state, as the industry itself is advancing, we're going to get more information. So fairly difficult to figure out exactly how much money is going to come in. Since that time, I think it's only gotten more confusing.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
We got our second distribution. And we have a dollar amount. It was about $41,000 thereabouts. $41,800.
And can you refresh me? What was the first distribution?
The first distribution was $105,577.
Thank you.
And that included taxes collected prior to July 1, 2017, and then from July 1, 2017 through September 30th.
Could you remind me that quarterly or?
That was the problem. We don't know. It was a lump sum payment for that was the first distribution the state made.
So how long the time frame?
It actually ran from the beginning. There was prior to July 1, 2017, from the time they started collecting taxes to July 1, 2017. That was a higher tax amount. The tax rate, the interim rate was higher. Then they had the period July 1, 2017 through September 30th, 2016 under a new legislatively established distribution methodology. That was the second one. And now we've got the third one. And this, the explanation we got with this is that this is supposed to run from September 1, 2017 through November 30th, 2017 with these caveats. So the first caveat is it includes a number of delinquent back taxes from the two previous periods there, and they broke down a portion of that, but not all of it. So we don't know how much of that is new tax and how much of that is delinquent tax that was not paid. So I wouldn't utilize those numbers as an indicator of what we're going to get on a per quarter basis. I mean, they may give us some relative idea of what it's going to be, but it's not a great idea. We also don't really know. They won't provide us with the information on how much of that is local tax versus state tax. Although I think we can sort of do it. But it's interesting. They give us the state tax distribution dollar amount. Then they give us an amount of money. And I think by logic, you can take the amount of money we received, subtract out the amount of state tax, and that probably is what your local tax is.
So I'm having a little bit of a problem with this.
So am I.
As a person who does budgets and things like this, to not have a clear definition of where money comes from is just as bad as not having a clear definition of where it goes. When you get a check, you should have a clear definition. And I'm looking at my banker here to see if he agrees.
So far, I'm listening in approval.
I mean, if we don't have accounting for what that comes in, we're just as responsible as if we don't have accounting for what goes out. And just my own feeling is this just isn't right.
Can I address that possibly?
You have been having your colleagues around the state and our treasurers try to get some clarity from the state on this on numerous occasions.
We've requested, and my understanding is there was some discussion, what I don't know if there was actually a bill that's been ready to be introduced this session, but there was I know there was a lot of discussion about introducing a bill or somehow rectifying this problem to get more information out there and better information to us and a better breakdown of the information that's received. And so I know there's some efforts on a statewide basis to do that. I can't tell you whether or not they're going to be successful in those efforts. In the meantime, I think we can talk about what we're going to see probably on an upper limit of this, although it's a developing area in here, and the industry is too new to really know exactly what that's going to be. But we have some at least idea of generally where we're going to end up here.
Okay. Well, I guess I would add that we may have an idea, but... And again, this is my observations are based on driving down the streets, but I've seen signs that say the price of a gram of marijuana is now in the neighborhood of $3 versus at one time $7. So if you say we got, and I'll use general numbers, $40,000 as a quarterly tax payment, that's probably, in my opinion, certainly at the very high end if you realize that over the last 6 months, 9 months, the revenues from marijuana have gone from $7 a gram to $3 a gram. Now, that may be temporary, it may not, but it's certainly indicative of competition driving down the price, which will drive down the tax revenue. So, in my opinion, maybe you start saying as a ballpark, you've got half of $40,000 as a quarterly payment if you look at what's happening at the price of marijuana based on my observation of signs on the street.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure I would be willing to wager that's a loss leader price or a special price. But yeah, my observation, I think, Mr. Chair, just echoing what you're both saying, is with the lack of clarity, with the lack of long-term track record, with the lack of volatility in the market, I'd be really wary on counting on this revenue on a long-term basis, especially to support staff positions. But I will, I'm going to be interested to hear what public input we get. But still, I think we can find some useful purposes for this money, nevertheless.
And just to set the table a little bit more again, as we discussed the last time, in terms of the way that the money comes from, as distributed by the state and by the local tax, there are no restrictions on your use of the money. It obviously has to follow local budget law. You have to budget for it and spend it that way, but there aren't any specific restrictions on these particular funds in terms of what they can be used for. There's other pots of money that the taxes go for on a statewide basis that are used for different purposes, but these particular funds, it's up to your determination as to how to spend those.
Well, first of all, if it is $20,000 or even if it's $40,000, it's pretty small in our budget. And I've been asked just recently about how much money is the county getting? They think we're getting rich on this thing.
Yeah. Some people do.
And yeah, a lot of people, that's the impression. And partly because the cities have got sizably more dollars coming in than counties. They think we're, getting as much or more. And I mean, for the amount of grief that's going to cause this, if you boil this number down, come on. This is not even going to pay the expenses that you have for just a couple of law enforcement calls. This doesn't compute well to me, as I guess you call it fisherman's technology, but if I'm going fishing, I want to make sure I come back with more money than I left with. So that's kind of what I'm feeling in this situation.
Well, just to, I think, further frame that comment, the general fund budget is, what, roughly $39, $40 million. So we're talking $20,000 a quarter, $75,000, $80,000 annually in a $40 million general fund budget. So, again, I think that frames the numbers. Any more comments from...
Just a note for the record, we this is the public hearing. You're going to take public input on this particular issue. And we had, in announcing the public hearing, we'd also offered opportunity for folks not only to appear here, but also to send emails. And at this point, we have not received any emails or any public input via that process. So today, you'll get your input via text.
I have not received any communications from anyone. All right, there are no more commissioner comments at this point. We'll entertain public comments. Anyone in the audience wish to comment? Come on forward. And please identify yourself, although we know who you are.
Back again.
Welcome back.
Thank you. So I'm Nicole Fields. I'm the Health Promotion Program Manager for Public Health. And I prepared a statement that I'm going to read to y'all.
That's fine.
Lincoln County Health and Human Services is requesting the 3% from county tax assessed on retail marijuana outlets has budgeted for substance abuse prevention education and activities. While now legal for adults, our public health prevention team and community coalitions are focused on preventing youth initiation and adult education. The role of Lincoln County Public Health relevant to marijuana includes researching and minimizing the possible negative public health effects of retail and medical marijuana products, educating the public about health issues related to marijuana use, protecting children and vulnerable populations from marijuana exposure, preventing youth from starting to use marijuana, and monitoring marijuana use attitudes and health effects. Public health impacts have already been observed associated with legalization of marijuana. Marijuana-related calls to the Oregon Poison Control Center have increased yearly since 2014. From 2014 to 2016, calls for persons under the age of 13 have doubled each year. THC levels have more than doubled since the 80s. Levels have increased from 4% in 1995 to over 30% today in flower form. Concentrates have an average potency of between 25 and 60%, and extracts often test between 60 and 90% THC. Research shows that increased availability of any legal or illegal drug will increase use among youth. There is an important factor to address, as is widely understood that drug use during the time that the brain is developing can cause significant impacts. The brain continues to develop through the mid-20s, and studies have shown that both early use before the age of 18 and heavy regular use of can negatively affect the brain, and that effect is more pronounced for adolescents, and the effects can persist into adulthood, even with sustained abstinence from marijuana use. Despite this, only 63% of Lincoln County 8th or 11th graders reported having no drug and alcohol use prevention education in the past year. I'm going to reread that because I messed it up a little bit. So despite this, 63% of Lincoln County 11th graders reported having no drug and alcohol use prevention activities in the past year. Every dollar invested in school-based substance abuse prevention programs and public health programs has the potential to save up to $18 in costs related to substance use disorders. Many young people and adults in Lincoln County currently use marijuana, so 1 in 5 Lincoln County 11th graders reported using marijuana in the last 30 days. 70% of Lincoln County 11th graders reported that it would be sort of easy or very easy to obtain marijuana. Only 50% of 11th graders haven't tried marijuana, which is much higher than the 8th grade average. Nearly 1 in 10 11th graders reported using marijuana once or twice a week or more. And while tobacco use grows slightly from 8th to 11th grade, marijuana use increases dramatically from 5.9% to 20.7%. To talk a little bit about motor vehicle accidents, they're the leading cause of death for teens. In the past year, Oregon and other states were primarily concerned with driving under the influence of alcohol, and this continues to be a major concern, but marijuana has also become a major concern since legalization in 2015. Marijuana affects reaction time, short-term memory, hand-eye coordination, concentration, and perception of time and distance, all of which are vital functions for driving safely. Combining alcohol with marijuana is even more dangerous, multiplying the adverse effects of a person's ability to operate a vehicle safely. 7.6% of Lincoln County's 11th graders using marijuana reported driving within 3 hours of use. Increased marijuana use among youth is a public health and public safety concern in Oregon. Public health and community coalitions like PATA will work together to implement strategies to reduce youth marijuana use and educate the public about the dangers of underage marijuana use. Though we understand that the amount of money generated by these taxes will vary greatly from year to year, we feel that substance abuse prevention education and activities are an important and valuable use of these funds and can be responsive to the fluctuation in tax levels. Thank you for your time.
Mr. Chair, may I?
Sure.
Question for Nicole. So
please.
Hypothetically, if we did allocate some or all of this funding for the purpose of prevention and education. And you heard our discussion kind of mm-hmm. setting the context for this, that this funding source may be very volatile.
Yeah.
So say if we budgeted just $40,000 a year for this mm-hmm. and the revenues came in at $20,000, I mean, would you be able to have the flexibility working within the division and working with community partners like PATA to kind of ramp up or ramp down if necessary if funds mm-hmm. don't come in at the expected level?
I think we absolutely would. I think that one of the important things to keep in mind with this is that we're not looking to hire a staff person for this, so it wouldn't be someone's jobs in jeopardy if the funds fluctuate. We're hoping to work with community partners on this. This is things we can contract out really flexibly and then also kind of implement some work and ramp up staff that we already have to do some of the work as the funds come in.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Thompson.
So there's two groups of people that really got to be impacted by this. I see the sheriff's back there. Would you mind come up? I'd like to ask you a couple questions.
Do you want me to go back or?
No, stay right here.
Stay right here. Okay.
This is a joint.
Don't get out of it that easy, huh?
Because I've got, you know me, I'd like to ask you several questions.
Yeah.
I consider you the second group that may have the largest impact from marijuana. What are you seeing? What kind of consequences are you seeing in your area?
Well, you know, I don't have the statistics on hand, but anecdotally, I mean, it's hard to say right now. It's still early. It's still early what we're seeing, and I can't argue with those statistics because those, you know, are definitely something that we're seeing with the youth involved, and, you know, I think youth programs are definitely where we want to concentrate a portion of our resources, if there are any, to go to. You know, the drug-related crashes, I know statewide are up from what I'm hearing from Oregon State Police and other partners out there. And I'm also looking at Colorado as seeing where the statistics are there, and crashes are up there, too, as far as related to marijuana use. That seems to be the number one concern that I would have right now as far as law enforcement is that. Early on, we talked about the businesses as far as the security, because a cash-only society with them, because the federal government doesn't recognize them as far as using the banking system. And we haven't, you know, noticed that locally, but statewide, there haven't been a couple incidences where marijuana dispensaries have been robbed or burglarized because they know that that's where the cash is.
Well, I'm going to make this comment to you. More money goes to cities than does to counties.
Yes.
And it worries me that we do supply public health, but mm-hmm. then we're expected to take the full load of this. It seems like to me, I like to see some of the city money come to this same area, mm-hmm. some kind of a match. I mean, if we're willing to step up and put some money up, I think the cities should come up with at least an equal amount, so that we're not funding the whole thing on our backs with what little money we get, when there's a larger supply and you're serving their people just the same as ours. Mm-hmm. I like joint relationships, so give me your reaction to that.
Well, yeah, I can't disagree with that, obviously. You know, it seems like that would be a lot of help, you know, since it's a countywide problem. It's not just, you know, localized to the cities or to the county. It's globally. It's a countywide problem that we're looking at. So it seems like a countywide solution would be the way we should be able to do it. The other thing I should talk about, and may have more information on this, but the fact that, you know, marijuana is oftentimes considered a gateway drug to others, and we know that the addiction use with heroin, methamphetamine is skyrocketed, and you know, especially the opioids. And you know, I don't know if you have any comments on that. You probably know more as far as that part of it than I would. But I know as far as addiction that's a population that we really need to address too. And as far as conquering that, because it's you know, it's causing havoc on society right now.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the educational component that we're looking at is to kind of raise that perception of harm, because it is a gateway drug, and the perception of harm right now is really, really low for marijuana. Teens just don't think that it's harmful. They don't think it's addictive. They don't think it's going to have long-lasting effects on their brain function. So kind of getting that educational message out there and raising that perception of harm is so important as they move into adulthood. To answer your question, too, I mean, we'd love to get additional funds from the cities, because the vast majority of dispensaries are in the cities. I think there's only 3 within the unincorporated areas of Lincoln County. So that's a minority. That's kind of a drop in the bucket of these taxes that are getting collected.
The only way this works is if we try to form some kind of alliance, we try to make contact through it and see what their reaction is.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's several cities, it would be a fairly small amount to match what we do, which would give us a better chance to get something going long term.
Yeah.
So the question is how do we go about that? I mean, is the Board of Commissioners the right place to make the contacts, or is it through your departments or your relationships? Because you two probably work closer with the cities than we do. We have our regular meetings, but it's not very often. And so what's your reaction? How do we go about doing that if that's the direction you want to go?
For me, I mean, I'd say kind of the higher up the chain is making the ask, the better chance that we have of getting those funds. I'd be happy to, you know, come along and present some data to them on why we need the funding. But I think if the ask was coming from you, we'd have a much stronger chance at partnering, because we're looking to partner government to government.
Well, we do work closely with the police departments around the county, and I meet monthly with the police chiefs. I can definitely bring up them, but again, they're not the decision making
right.
authority with the budget, but they do have recommendation, you know, authority, I guess, to their city manager and city council also. So
I guess I'd look, turn it over to you guys and say, is this the direction you want to go? Because I want to get as much bang, and I'm going to put a buck out there as we possibly can.
Just one question, and Nicole's, if you've heard anything yet, that another kind of pot of money here is the 20% of the proceeds that Oregon Health Authority will make available to counties, and apparently they've talked about doing this in a grant form. Have you heard anything yet about that at all?
We haven't.
Okay. There may be a way to leverage the kind of local funds that you were talking about, the county funds, city funds, and then with these other funds to do more.
Mm-hmm.
I have really heard nothing about if they've really developed anything.
Yeah, I heard it was somewhat tied up, but.
Okay.
Well, my rule is when there's an empty space and we don't know what we're doing, let's be first and do it right. Go for it.
Well, Mr. Chair, just in response to Commissioner Thompson's concept, if we do go in this direction with these funds, I think at least making an ask of the cities, it couldn't hurt. And if some of them say yes, I mean, the more funds we could devote to this effort, the better, because I really think it's, you know, prevention is the thing we always talk about, but we always underfund. It always slips to the last place on our priority list. It's
well, if I could, you know, we really need. Commissioner Hall said, prevention is something we got to get to the root cause of a lot of things. Yeah. And I mean, I'm speaking, you know, globally here what we're looking at. This is just one small aspect of it, but you know, again, it's that prevention for occurring, and it's hard to statistically identify how many did we prevent, but you can look at how many were affected, and you know, if they do go through and use it. So prevention is the key. It's always been left out, because statistically it's hard to look at how many people did we actually prevent from starting to use marijuana, or how many people did we start from using opioids to begin with.
You can't do that,
but it's so important.
And it's so far down the road, too. It's hard to, you know, justify putting large sums towards prevention sometimes, because they're the, you know, now problems that we want to address with these funds. But really, we're lowering the chronic disease burden down the road. We're lowering the burden on the jail system down the road. We're lowering the burden on law enforcement when we invest in prevention.
Commissioner
Thompson, go ahead.
So I think we all agree on this. The trouble is how do we go about doing it and actually getting it to the ground? So, Wayne, when's our next meeting with City of Newport?
I think that comes up in February. So we actually started the next round of those meetings, and you know, that's a direction you want to go. We've got a couple of avenues that we can bring this out to the cities and work with that if that's the direction you want to go.
I think that the city of Newport would be a logical one. Lincoln City, I hope, is not too far behind it.
Right.
At least,
I think the three cities that have actually proceeds would be Walport, Lincoln City, and Newport for sure. I don't know if Toledo or
proceeds
or have any other ones.
Toledo does.
So
who
does?
Toledo.
Yeah,
Toledo does too. Okay,
I'm sorry. So anyway,
they're not going to have a lot of revenue from one store.
No, but I think that maybe we can set up a conversation. This conversation may need longer than the time frame. Usually, so many issues come up in there. Maybe we can ask for an extra 15 minutes before or something like that, just talk specifically to this.
We'll make sure this gets on the agenda on each of the discussions we have with the city. But we'll also do some work in between that time. We've got some other ways we can do things. Yeah, if you'd like, that's the direction.
Yeah,
you got more public input.
We're
obviously
still in a public hearing session. Yeah. I have a couple of questions, though. Nicole, you made some comments about the number of calls increasing. What type of calls are those, and who responds?
So those would be calls to the Oregon Poison Control Center, which is a separate center. So these are looking at overdose and accidental ingestion. We see a lot of it with edibles. They look very similar to foods that kids might be eating on a normal daily basis. Like kid sees a brownie, kid eats a brownie. That would be a call to Oregon Poison Control.
What about calls to our crisis center?
I don't have those statistics on me.
Okay, and I guess that the public safety may respond to a call if there was, some accident or some other threat to public safety.
Yeah, we could possibly.
Yeah.
With marijuana being legal, it's wouldn't necessarily come to us unless it was public safety involved. But we have heard of overdose calls. You know, when they come out, they, of course, we get notified via our computer in the car. And may respond, but what I'm hearing too is with the edibles especially is, you know, a small amount goes a long ways, but people aren't seeing the effect initially, and then so they take more and take more, and pretty soon when the effect does come on, that they're in an overdose situation. So again, another, even if you are a responsible adult and you are going to use, even a message out there about that, keeping that message going, and I know we've heard it, but I think it's important to keep that out there to prevent, you know, this type of thing. And again, the message again about the prevention as far as the driving with it too, that it that just like the DUI campaigns that are out there also.
Mm-hmm. So,
excuse me. No, go ahead.
If we're going to do this, and I think we should, also write a letter to the tribe and talk to the tribe because it's their citizens too, not that they receive direct tax funds from this. But if we're really going to do something, $20,000 isn't going to do it. But if you get to a sizable number by building an internal relationship, we not only may create a better pot of money to do our work, but show the rest of the counties and states a good way to go so that we can really attack this on a much more global scale than just in our community.
Well, there's already a good working relationship between our health department, PADA, and CEDAR, the Siletz Tribal Prevention Coalition, right? Seeing nods, of course. So, again, if we get more resources into existing pipelines, I think the potential for making a difference could be huge.
Okay, I'm going to ask for additional public input, then I'll close the public hearing and we can continue the deliberations. Anyone else wish to make public comment on the marijuana tax funds? All right, if not, I'll close the public hearing and we can continue our deliberations. I think Commissioner Thompson has hit on a good idea. I guess I'd offer a couple of thoughts. I think we're dealing with two issues. Number one, we're dealing with how do we spend the money. But we're also dealing with trying to set a policy as to how these funds in general should be spent. And I firmly believe that education and prevention is critical, but I'm also concerned about creating a policy where we put sideboards on these dollars and limit the flexibility. To me, there's value in making the funding of education and prevention part of the budget process and maybe we decide to spend $100,000 on this because it's such a critical problem. So don't have an artificial limitation that says, gosh, we only got $20,000 this year. We can only spend $20,000. The other thought I have is, you know, government's complicated. Let's keep it simple. If we put this money in the general fund and then say we're going to have a budget process as to how we're going to spend whatever amount of money is appropriate to fund prevention and education, which I believe is very critical, then we've kept it simple. We haven't put a limitation on the amount of money that's available. And we've also got the flexibility to continue to fund it, fund the education, fund that process at a level that isn't dependent upon what kind of revenues are we getting one year or another. So I'm fully in favor of funding education and prevention. I think that we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg as far as the social problems they're going to be dealing with. So to me, let's keep it simple. Let's have a budget process that says we support these programs. Let's work with the cities, ask them to support the programs, and then allocate an appropriate amount of money. So we're not underfunding it. We're going to fund it at a level that addresses the problem. So those are my thoughts.
That's a tall order, but to truly address the problem, but I think we can make a much greater impact. So, Mr. Belmont, our discussion, I'm in accord with the sentiments my colleagues have expressed. So, Wayne, would that give you enough to go forward from a budgeting standpoint and a communicating with the city's standpoint? And
I think it does. And I'll be working pretty closely with Health and Human Services to talk about it, because I can already anticipate the questions we're going to get from the cities. What do we get for our dollars?
So exactly. We're going to have some pretty specific ideas of what services we'll provide and what levels for what dollar amounts. I think that's generally when we've made these requests, that's what they're going to ask for. So we can work on putting together some proposals and look at some dollars and see if we can't put something together for the budget
again,
this year.
Excuse me, I would see public health and public service safety,
both, yes.
Working together to develop programs.
And again, make that part of the budget process.
Yeah, and greater make it part of the budget process.
Greater awareness of the dangers of impaired driving.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think it's
a public
serious problem.
And I could say this, in terms of the dollar amounts, the one thing that is a little bit to our advantage is we have a set number of dollars we've already gotten in place that we're not budgeted for.
Right.
And the first distribution we got, plus these, and the next distribution we'll get, we'll at least have one more quarter. So we'll at least have a base of funding for next year. We may be, again, a little bit behind in terms of doing it, but we'll have at least a dollar amount we can work with in the budget for next year of funds already received.
As I said, my concern is I think it echoes the comments of my fellow commissioners. $20,000 really a quarter isn't really adequate, in my opinion, to address the problem.
Yeah, so that's not. See, but it doesn't mean we can't leverage it to make
That's why I think that's a great program.
The modest existing resources we have from the state for that.
Okay, so do we have staff
like
direction?
Yes, I have direction.
Move forward. All right. Next item on the agenda is legalization of Ocean View Drive, and I believe Public Works Director Kenyon will be addressing us.
Mr. Chair, could you open the hearing on this matter, too, please?
Open a public hearing on legalization of Ocean View Drive. For the record, please introduce yourself.
I'm Roy Kenyon, Lincoln County Public Works Director. We originally opened up this public hearing October 18th, mid-October. We did have, I know, at least one individual that came up and spoke. Just to kind of rehash things, to kind of get you back up to speed. Ocean View and Marine Drive in Yahats is a loop that leaves Highway 101, runs west to the shore, then runs south, and then back east and connects back into Highway 101 and basically makes a loop around the city of Yahats. We have, for quite some time, wished to transfer jurisdictionally this section of road to the city of Yahats. Normal process for Lincoln County when we enter into these jurisdictional transfers is to make sure that the right-of-way is clean and without issues. And so we go through a legalization process when necessary. In this case, Marine Drive and about the two-thirds of the north end of Ocean View, there are no issues. The road exists well within the right-of-way. It's all nice and clean. We get down towards the south end, we run into some historic issues surrounding the 804 trail. The way basically that whole south end was platted, we're basically up against the ocean. Things are kind of squeezed in. And so we had the county surveyor go down, do some work. Basically, one of the results of their work is this map here that was produced. And what it shows, without getting too technical, is all the shaded areas are the areas that basically we need, or we feel we need to clean up the right-of-way. Basically, we have overlapping issues where the right-of-way does not fit the road as traveled. The road as traveled actually crosses some of these areas that are private property. The problem is like I said, it's all kind of squished in there. And so by attempting to legalize, it reduces the usable area of these lots, and so we have issues with setback requirements, and I think we actually heard some of that from the last meeting. And so we're here basically to take more public comment if necessary. I know that Wayne has said that he has had some conversations with the city of Yahats.
Yeah, let me give that update too and tell you what we talked
please.
About. As you may recall, the city does have a new city manager, Shannon Bocari, and so she's kind of brought herself up to speed. Joan Davis is still involved somewhat in the activities down there. But I've also talked to in addition to Shannon and Joan, I've talked to Ross Williamson, who is their city attorney, about some possibilities of what might be some options for dealing with this particular issue that addresses some of the concerns that neighbors had out there. So we've begun those discussions. We're not ready to make specific recommendations yet. So what I am actually going to recommend to you is we discussed an option of continuing this particular hearing to a date and time specific again in hopes that we can actually come to some kind of combined recommendation to you. And it may be that involves either not doing the vacate or doing the legalization in whole or only just in part. That's one of the things that we've looked at here. So we need some more time to meet together, and we'll also meet with some of the property owners. We've been meeting with them as this has gone along. So my recommendation is, after talking to the city officials, is that we get a motion to continue this hearing to March 21st, 2018, so we can attempt to resolve this. The reason we chose that far out is twofold.
What was the date? I'm sorry.
March 21st, 2018. One is that not only does it give us the time to bring all the staff up to date and Yahats to get this resolved and meet with folks. But there also is one of our joint meetings between the Board of Commissioners and the City Council falls just before that time period. And if there's any kind of policy issues we need to discuss related to this, we'll have an opportunity to do so with the City Council, make sure that they're all on board too with the recommendations we're making here. And then we come back and then decide what we're going to do on the 21st of March. That also allows us, once that's done, we're really trying to gear this to do the necessary project that we need to do in order to get this transfer accomplished. We have to do some improvements to the road. We've been promising this for a number. And so we want to get this completed in enough time that Roy can actually arrange for the construction project out there, and we can move forward with the transfer of the road. So I don't know if there's anybody here in the audience that might want to provide some additional
information
today. You'll find out. But that's our recommendation.
Okay. Anything else from you, Roy, at this point?
No.
Okay. Anyone else in the audience wish to make public comment on the legalization of Ocean View Drive? All right. Seeing no one come forward, we'll close the public hearing.
Well, no, actually, what we need is a motion.
Oh, we know.
Go ahead and close the hearing. I'm sorry. Go ahead and close the hearing. You're not closing it completely. You're going to continue the hearing.
Okay. Well,
so technically what you're going to do is entertain a motion now before you actually close
before
it.
We close it? Yeah. Okay, I'll reopen the public hearing.
Okay, Mr. Chair, I would move that we extend this hearing on the legalization of Ocean View Drive in Yahats to March 21st, 2018.
And that'll be at 9:30 a.m. in this room.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded to continue this discussion to March 21st. 2018 in this room at 9:30 a.m. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. That motion carries, and we will continue the process March 21st. All right. That concludes our public hearings. I guess we actually had three, although there are only two on the agenda. Next item would be a discussion, potentially action item, on the 2018 Community Economic and Development Grant Awards. This is something that's come before the Board of Commissioners previously. I know we extended any further action until 2 weeks later after it first appeared before us on January 3rd. I see Carolyn Bauman in the audience. Any questions or comments from my fellow commissioners, staff?
Commissioners, if I might, one of the things you asked me to look at is that originally we looked at allocating $100,000, and the recommendations that came back from the Economic Development Alliance was $103,000. You want me to confirm that there would be sufficient funds to actually adopt the full recommendation that was here, the $103,000. There are sufficient funds. I've gone back and confirmed that, so I just want to make sure that is on the table for you to decide if you want to actually allocate the whole $103,822 as recommended, if that's your desire.
Okay. Appreciate that information. Fellow commissioners, comments, thoughts?
Let's go.
Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I would move that we approve the allocation of community and economic development funds as recommended by the Board of Directors of the Economic Development Alliance.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. That motion carries. And we
will prepare an order for you that will be on the consent calendar next week that actually makes the end.
Okay. And please share our appreciation with your board for the hard work they do on this project.
Dan. I will. Mm-hmm. I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda would be reports. Commissioners, reports.
Nothing today.
I'll mention that I was in the legislature last week still working on carbon tax credit, clean fuels. There's about three different names, four different names for this running around. But it's still
there may be more yet.
Concept by Dembro and several people come up with some kind of a program that'll be kind of, it builds off of California's program, but it's changed quite a bit. I'm particularly concerned about they're recognizing the policy issues. I don't see how all of the programs are implemented. I'm worried they're going to turn it over to state agencies, and the state agencies in their rulemaking process, I just don't have quite the faith that I would if I saw clear lines of how the money is to come in and how where the money is to go, actually. So it's one that you need to be aware of, follow, but it's going to, if it goes through this session, it will come really quick, and the votes will happen, and all of a sudden you're going to have something. And that particularly worries me. I'd prefer that they not pass it this session. We have more time to work on it because the rural part of the state really hasn't been engaged. And I'm also concerned that the amount of money that comes back to the rural part of the state, we're going to pay a lot of the consequence of money, depending on what industries it is. But that money is diluted down where it's a very small number, something like what's happened with marijuana taxes. It's very small, when actually a lot of our people in the timber industry and fishing industry and our just transportation down here too is going to be impacted and cost us money over time. And so it's going to be interesting. It isn't fleshed out well enough for me is where I stand right now. But we'll learn.
More to come. Well, I think you hit on one of my concerns, Commissioner, and that is, how are those dollars going to come back to the rural part of the state, and how is it going to affect particularly our county and the commercial fishing industry and some of the other industries that are heavily dependent on fuel?
Well, as it is, they say commercial fishing is exempt, but I always am curious what exempt means.
Well, still my understanding, and I'm not sure, is like marine fuel itself would be exempt, but still, you get once the product's processed, you got to truck it out of here, and that's not going to be.
They're going to be a cost on that. It's there's a lot here to look at and understand. Agriculture, you know, they're trying to keep it so those kinds of agencies can be competitive with the rest of the world. When you start sticking fuel costs higher on a commodity that goes worldwide, you have to compete with the rest of the world to stay in the market. If they don't do it, then all of a sudden you're at a competitive disadvantage. They're trying to address it, but in the bill it's addressed, but it still doesn't exactly explain how it would come down. My advice is take a look at it, watch this bill, and read it. Wayne had looked at it. He sees some things in it. Wayne, do you have any comment at all you want to make on it?
Well, this is the typical thing. The devil's in the details. And the details are just coming out. And it's obviously, a lot of it is put off. You're right about that, in the sense that there are very broad strokes in terms of what the money could be used for, but it delegates the authority to other agencies to actually implement this, and what that impacts will be on especially rural economies and rural communities is yet to be seen.
Okay, more to come. All right, I'll just comment that I had the honor of introducing Senator Merkley at his town hall in Lincoln City this past Saturday, and I've been asked to do the same for Congressman Schrader this Saturday in Lincoln City at 9 o'clock a.m. in Lincoln City, so I'll be doing that. And with that, if there are no more commissioner comments, open the agenda to constituent input. Anybody that wishes to address commissioners, welcome to do so on any subject, and we ask you to limit your comments to no more than 5 minutes. Welcome, and we know who you are, but please introduce yourself.
Good morning, Commissioners. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to say thank you. I thanked Caroline Bauman as she was leaving. I believe we were on that list of projects that you just voted to fund, and I just wanted to Commissioner Thompson's point, let you know that anytime we get additional revenue like this in our board coffers, we always leverage those funds with our federal funds and also with our general funds. So we're going to get as much bang for the buck as we can with this project, and I'm very grateful, and I just wanted to say that out loud on the record.
Please introduce yourself.
So sorry. My name is Heather Dissard. I'm the executive director of Northwest Oregon Works and the local workforce board, and you just voted to fund a hospitality project that we have plans for Lincoln County, and we're very excited. And again, thank you.
For the record, I serve as chair of the consortium board that oversees the Workforce Investment Board. It's a five-county board, Benton, Lincoln, Tillamook, Clatsop, and Columbia County. So,
correct.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
All right. If there's nothing more to come before the board at this time, our next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, January 24th at 9:30 a.m. right here in the Board of Commissioners Room 108. With that, we're adjourned.